So, you know, times the times change. And we move along, and, you know, technology changes a lot of things. And, you know, Dan, we still we have to do that topic about the sounds that young people won't recognize. Remember we were going to do that?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't we have a guest? You were going to try and get a guest for that? Wasn't there somebody from a museum or something that was going to...
Oh, yeah. They don't speak English very well. They're
Danish.
Oh,
okay.
So that's okay. That's why that didn't work out. But yeah, they have a museum of forgotten sounds, I believe is what it's called.
Yeah, Museum of Forgotten Sounds, which is kind of what we're talking about, you know, similar to what we're talking about here. We like to get nostalgic on this show. At least I do. And I know you guys, you know, always usually love to call in or text in. With, you know, topics about like, hey, you remember this thing or you remember that thing and I miss this thing and I'm better and I think we're better off without that thing. I like getting nostalgic on the show and talking about old neighborhoods and what used to be there and stuff like that. It's just fun to talk about that. And having, you know, lived in this city my entire life, it's a lot of fun to just go back and revisit places that are completely different than they used to be when I was a kid. But here we have products that you never thought would be obsolete. This is from Cheapism. Is that a website, Dan? Cheapism.com?
Yep.
What do they do on Cheapism?
They do stuff like this. They, you know, things with a kind of combining this with financial, you know, how it relates to the financial terms of things. Because a lot of this, as we'll read, talks about, all right, well, it was, you know, eventually subsumed by this technology
right.
or this company that is now, you know, a world moneymaker.
Right. All right, how about this? Here's a product that's obsolete. Alarm clocks. I don't have an alarm. I mean, does my clock radio count as an alarm clock?
In this case, they do not count it.
Okay. It's like the actual wind-up right, alarm clock that, yeah, that ding, 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 that thing. Okay. Because I know that, like, maybe a lot of people don't use alarm clocks, so most people use their phone. And my clock radio on the bedstand next to my bed... That's my backup alarm. I set that one a few minutes later. My phone is the first alarm. So I know most people use their phones. But it says, invented in China in the year 725, Yi Xing invented the first known alarm clock, and the descendants of his contraption have been startling slumberers out of dreams ever since. It was actually the rise of the clock radio that spelled the beginning of the end of the standalone alarm clock. But in the end, it was cell phones that rendered the single-function timed noisemaker a relic of a bygone era. Yeah, the good old wind-up alarm clock. I wonder if people still have those. And by the way, if you do, like as we go through these products that are essentially obsolete now that nobody ever uses, if you have them, we would love to hear from you via talk or text at 312-981-7200. And do you still use them? Like, does somebody really have one of those old school wind up alarm clocks? You know, with the two bells on top and the clanger that goes. Yeah. All right. How about encyclopedias? In 2010, the Encyclopedia Britannica published its final print edition. For some reason, that makes me really sad. It was a massive 32-edition collection that followed in the footsteps of the 7 million similar sets purchased by academics, students, and hobbyists throughout the company's 244-year history. Encyclopedia met its demise in the form of the Internet, which offered knowledge at the click of a button. Let's see. Dan, did you have a set of encyclopedias? You did when you were growing up, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I used to love them, man. I just, you know, pull a volume off and just like kind of like look through it. You remember that scene in Say Anything where he's in her room and she's changing and she's got this giant dictionary and he's like, wow, this is a monster dictionary. And then she's like, yeah, I love it. I always mark off the words that I look up, and he opens it up and every page there's like 50 words that have been marked. Oh, man. Linda's on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Yeah, good morning. Your alarm clock, this morning I used it as a backup because I'm taking my girlfriend for surgery, and I had to get up at 3:30, and just in case there's a power outage or that, and it's important, I use a backup alarm clock. This one has a battery, but I'm looking for the old-fashioned key wind, and sometimes in these little magazines I get in the mail, they'll have a baby bin or a big bin that you can order.
Yeah, Linda, not meant to be ironic, but you can probably find that on the internet.
I don't have an internet.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains why you have an alarm clock like that, then.
And you were talking about encyclopedias?
Yeah.
I think one set is in the attic that my mom and dad had bought us kids, but we had used my aunt's for many years when we were growing up, and in there they had sections to where you could look up poems, limericks, and different things like that, and I remember in the one section they had the Hiawatha poem.
Ah, yeah.
And you cannot find those unless you go in. Well, now you guys go to the internet, but even at the library, you go and you have to ask for specific things like that.
Yeah,
but the alarm clock, people will say, oh, I had power outage, and you know, this is a backup.
Yeah. Okay, Linda. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Sure, take care.
Here's the thing about, you know, the power outage is always something that you should be concerned about, but if your phone's charged, you're okay. that's the thing. You know, you could have a power outage, but if your phone is fully charged, and I always make sure my phone is like almost completely charged when I go to bed. But yeah, that makes sense. If you don't have the internet, you don't want to have that. You know, you got your little wind up alarm clock. That's pretty cool. And there used to be these encyclopedias that you would get, Dan, when you would go to Jewel and buy a certain amount of groceries, you can come back and get another volume. So like I don't know if it was every month or every couple of weeks, they would release a new volume alphabetically. And it wasn't Encyclopedia Britannica. It was a much, you know, smaller, thinner encyclopedia. I don't even know what it was, a small company. But I used to love those things. We would go shopping at the Jewels, and then I would come home with a new copy of a new encyclopedia. And again, it wasn't a badass encyclopedia like Britannica. It was some offshoot company. And it was probably, and if I remember correctly, it was probably mostly pictures, which is probably why I liked it the most. All right, we got a break here. We're talking about products you never thought would be obsolete, and that I will continue that after the news, which is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That's two for Tuesday. Yeah, and Tom requesting Grand Funk Railroad, Closer to Home, I'm Your Captain. Hey, Dan, can you do me a favor and find Homer Simpson talking about Grand Funk? I believe it's on the Homer Palooza. I think it's from the Homer Palooza episode, but it's Homer talking about Grand Funk because the kids in the car don't know who Grand Funk is. He's like, he's giving Milhouse and Bart and giving them the ride, and they don't know who Grand Funk is, and Homer can't believe it.
KFSL, Fossil 103, classic hits from ABBA to Zeppelin, come a land.
Tell him! Mr. Simpson, sir! Can you please change the radio station?
But this is Grand Funk Railroad! You guys back there know Grand Funk, right? Nobody knows the band Grand Funk? The wild shirtless lyrics of Mark Farner? The bong rattling bass of Mel Shocker? The competent drum work of Don Brewer?
There it is.
Oh, man!
The confident drum work of Don Brewer. Every time I hear Grand Funk, I think of that. That's just so funny. All right, we're talking about products that you never thought would be obsolete. We've been talking about alarm clocks and encyclopedias and a bunch of other stuff that'll probably make you a little bit nostalgic and perhaps depressed. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. By the way, if you have any of these items that we're talking about that are mostly considered obsolete, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Here's Bill on WGN. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, Nick. You mentioned the Jewel encyclopedias.
Yeah.
That they gave away. I've got a set in my basement. I don't have one volume because for some reason the Jewel I shopped at back then never got that volume. I'd always look for it. But anyways, I'm getting ready to donate them to the Newberry Library for their fundraiser. So the last week in July, if you want to get it, run and grab it.
Oh, okay. That's where it's going to be, huh? It's gonna be, it'll be over at the Newberry. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna donate it to the Newberry.
Now,
do you, I got a whole bunch of books we donate every year.
That's good. Good for you, man. Now, Bill, do you happen to know the name of the encyclopedia?
No, I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay,
it's in the basement,
cool.
The box, and it's already boxed up and everything. But
okay.
I know I took them off the shelf.
Yeah.
And because my daughter, she says, I remember using those when I was in school.
Mm.
You know, and she used them in the school. And then also I had a whole set of encyclopedias, but I gave that to my grandson.
Yeah.
So he got those because they were handed down to me when I was a kid. And my mother and father bought them for my brother and sister and I back in, well, I was the oldest. She bought them back about 1949.
Mm. Wow!
So
all right,
they've been handed down. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, Bill. Thanks. I'll head over.
Oh, I got a real quick. You're talking about. Of course, I've been visually handicapped all my life, so I went away to a special school in Indiana. And you're talking about size of books. The dictionary, in the Braille edition of a dictionary, it's a standard Webster dictionary. Was 42 volumes of 200 pages apiece.
Oh my God.
And the only trouble was, when I was a kid, there was always a joke about this guy that started to read the dictionary, and the trouble was he couldn't stand reading because the subject kept changing every paragraph.
All right, Bill, have a great morning.
All righty. All
right, take care. By the way, callers and texters are saying it's Funk and Wagnalls. Yeah, that's right. It's also Funk and Wagnalls is also legendary because Funk and Wagnalls is where the questions for Carnac are kept in a mayonnaise drawer, in a mayonnaise jar on the porch of Funk and Wagnalls. That's where the questions for Carnac are kept in a mayonnaise jar, Funk and Wagnalls porch. Since I think what does he say? Since 8 o'clock this morning or something like that, Ed says. Here's Witt on WGN. Hi, Witt.
Hey, what's up, man? Nice, really nice to speak with you this morning.
Oh, thanks, man.
Hey, listen, I had a set of encyclopedias when I was younger. I was raised by my grandma. We were extremely poor, and the only set of encyclopedias she was able to get her hands on was from 1940. So I got a very, very distinguished view of the world from before World War II.
And it was
really cool to read it and see how what people were thinking and the way the world was before then. It was you know, I went through those a lot.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's really interesting to go back and look at that stuff. Anything that you consider maybe like being a part of a time capsule. I mean, that's why they have that stuff. It's awesome.
Right, and the view of Hitler then was totally different than after. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. All right,
man.
Have a good day, buddy.
You too, man.
Take care. Got some texts coming in here. 847 area code says, growing up, I always had a Big Ben wind-up table alarm clock. 218 area code says, Walmart sells alarm clocks with bells on top, only it's run on batteries. I had one for a couple of months, but the thing went through batteries pretty easily, and I had to let it go. 630 says, Menards sells the wind-up clock. 773 area code said, I just ordered the old double bell wind-up clock from Amazon for my husband, who's hard of hearing, and it works great. 773 area code says, I still have my complete Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia set, which was purchased at the Jewels. 219 area code says, all alarm clocks that plug into the wall also have a place for a backup 9-volt battery, just in case. Well, that's good. 773 area code says, Nick, the Jewels had the Sesame Street dictionary. I used to read it to my daughter, and she was reading it on her own by the time she was 4 years old, and today she's a school teacher. Oh, how about that? The Jewels helping to shape minds. See, JoJo's good, Dan.
Not only does he provide you with food at an affordable price, but he'll educate your kids.
That's what I want for a teacher. I want a guy like JoJo to be my kid's teacher. And a substitute teacher would be Gritty. All right, some other things that you thought would never be would be obsolete. This one depresses the hell out of me, by the way. This one, film. In 1839, Louis-Jean Mandre de Greux shocked the world by freezing a moment in time when he snapped the world's first photograph. Film photography would dominate for more than 150 years, although the first digital camera was created in 1975. The 1999 Kodak DC210 truly signaled the beginning of the digital camera revolution and the beginning of the end for film. In May of 2018, Canon stopped. Canon announced that it had finally sold its last film camera 8 years after making them, and it took that long to deplete the unsold inventory. Yeah, that one kind of depresses me. It's convenient as hell to have a camera on your phone and everything, and all this stuff. By the way, I'm guilty of having. It's not like I'm boycotting technology and this affects the movie industry too. And again, digital filming digitally is more convenient. It's quicker. It's cheaper. You can make it look good, but there's nothing like film. And when you see a movie and it's projected and it's actually film and not digital, the difference is kind of like night and day. Which is why everybody should go see Roma, Alfonso Cuarón's movie, at the Music Box. It starts, I believe, on Thursday. And it runs through the weekend. And it was number one. You know, if you were listening yesterday morning, Eric and Colin and I did our year-end reviews with our best and worst movies of 2018, and all three of us, Eric, Colin, and myself, all chose Roma as by far the best film of last year, of 2018. And it's available on Netflix. Again, you know, this is exactly what we're talking about. You can watch it on Netflix, but the proper way to see this movie will be when they project it in 70mm. At the Music Box. And so I highly recommend people go check that out. All right, let's take another break here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And we're talking about products we never thought would be obsolete and reminiscing a little bit about that. And Funkin' Wagnalls. 312-981-7200. Here's the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Today, rain mixes with snow showers and flurries with a high around 43. Tonight, brisk, colder, chance of flurries, low around 22. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high of 26. Thursday, partly cloudy and a high near 28. Friday, cloudy, high near 34. It's currently 38 degrees at O'Hare. It's 39 at Midway, 39 at the lakefront. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with more right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Two for Tuesday continuing. Give me two for Tuesday! One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Tom, with Grand Funk Railroad and them, we're an American band. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're talking about products that you never thought would be obsolete. And some of these make me a little sad. All right, how about this? Here's Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Nick. Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
It's a cool topic, so I thought I'd chime in. And when I was a little kid, I was obsessed with, like, really small technology. And I was especially obsessed with Dick Tracy's wristwatch, the TV wristwatch, because I thought that was really cool because it was really small and I can watch it in bed, you know, if it was on my wrist. Well, they didn't have those things back in the 70s. But what I did was I saved up my allowance money when I was around 11 or so, 11 or 12, as much as I could. And I ended up buying one of those really small Sony TVs. If you remember that from the mid early 70s, they were 5 inches or less.
Yeah.
5 inch one I got, and I got like the premium 5 inch one, and it was almost like a perfect cube. It was like a box. It wasn't like oblong, like ice cream sandwich shaped kind of thing. It was like a perfect square. And by today's standards, it weighed a ton, but by standards back then, you could lift it with your pinky. That was my main TV for most of my life until I, you know, had a living room and all that stuff. But I still was using that TV up until it was on my kitchen table, up until the Airways went digital. And the thing still worked. And it was a Sony tube television from way back.
Yeah. Wow, and it still worked.
It still works. I still have it. It probably would work with if you're going to use a VCR with it, but that doesn't apply anymore either.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, it still works.
Wow, that's amazing. That is pretty amazing. See, the old, they don't make them like they used to, Dan. I'm an old man trying to get some wedges.
That's right.
Rich, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. What about fax machines? We still have fax machines here. There's one right. Isn't that part, that copier also a fax machine, or am
yes.
I nuts?
No, you're correct.
Right? I can see it right here. Anybody still use them, though? That's the question. It says it's hard to believe that fax machines have clung to the bottom rung of the office tech ladder for as long as they have. Although facsimile machines aren't quite dead, they are certainly a dying breed, at least compared to the technology's peak of popularity in 1997, when 3.6 million of the loud, bulky machines were sold. Faxing was perfected to near modern standards in the early 1900s, but the technology was so expensive that it was so out of reach for most businesses until the 80s. Today, services like Fax Zero, launched in 2006, allow anyone with an email address and an internet connection to send faxes for free, which doesn't bode well for the future of the fax machine. U.S. sales of fax machines fell by more than half, from $181 million in 2005 to $70 million in 2010. And I'm sure it's even less now. But yeah, we've got a couple of fax machines floating around here. In the office. I wonder how many people use them, though. We should do a poll of people who work here at GN. And when was the last time anybody used the fax machines that are in the office? And who? Well, and also, and then you got to make sure the person on the other end has a fax machine. I used to think it was the coolest thing ever. When I was working at, I was working at this place called Cinebooks, which published film annuals every year, and I was a managing editor there. And whenever I would communicate, one of my jobs, Dan, was to assign writers movies to review. And then at the end of the year, they would all be released in an encyclopedia, in a film review encyclopedia. And I worked, that was a great job. I loved that job. And I was only there for about 8 months because Rupert Murdoch sold the damn company. But anyway, so I would communicate with a lot of my writers via fax, and they would fax in their reviews. So the reviews would come via fax, and then we had people type them in, like actually manually type them into the computer and then edit them. So that's how we got our, that's how we got, this was like, you know, like I think maybe email existed. This was 1990. I know we didn't have email then. So it was fax. We would have the reviews come via fax, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. There'd be like four pages of typewritten, you know, and then I would hand them to a couple of our editors and go, here you go. And then they would manually type them in and then edit them and then send it, you know, and then, you know, make a hard copy for me to look at again. Yeah, that was fun. And we thought it was the height of technology, man. Seeing paper with, you know, the reviews being spit out. Because, you know, I had writers, you know, I had critics that I would assign, you know, I would assign movies to all across the country. So I thought it was like, ooh, this is coming from California. I'm getting this from California. Ooh. Yeah. You remember there's a big plot point in Die Hard 2 that involves a fax machine?
I do not.
Yeah. I'm one of the only people that knows Die Hard 2 as well as Die Hard because I love Die Hard 2. But there's a big, like, big plot point there's a big clue that's solved by via fax in Die Hard 2. That's another movie that came out in 1990. I guess that might have been the height right there. Here's Cindy on WGN. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Good morning. Good morning. You're talking about old things. I'm pretty old myself, but at any rate, I have several things. I've got my dictionary I bought in segments at the Jewel about 50 years back, and I have a from 1893 Columbian Exposition. I have the hardcover copy of their commemorative book, and it's got all the pictures of all the local people then back, way back.
Wow.
And then I have a copy. It's about 2 foot high and about a foot wide, inch thick. It's all first pages of the Tribune on days when important things happened. And that's something. And then my last one is a catalog. It's about the same size, but it's got all kinds of goofy things in it, from hair curlers to farm equipment to wheelbarrows to stuff like that. And they are very interesting to thumb through.
Yeah, you go back and look at that, it's like going back in time. I wonder if people keep their catalogs, because everything was via catalog at one point. Like somebody bust out the old Sears catalog. Sears in the news. Cindy, thank you for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here on WGN. How about typewriters? Now, Dan, did you learn to type on a computer keyboard or a regular typewriter?
I learned to type on a keyboard on a computer, but I did have a typewriter in the house that I used as well before that.
In 2011, the world's last remaining manual typewriter manufacturer closed for good in Mumbai, India. It was the demise of an office and literary icon. Typewriters met their end, however, thanks to the arrival of word processors, followed closely behind by personal computers. That one makes me sad, too.
Although, it's interesting because I had read about this recently, and an 815 text kind of ties into it. They actually experienced a little bit of resurgence because they can't be hacked like a computer.
Mm.
So there are certain companies and certain government agencies that use them for that reason. And then 815 texted, and I work for a bank, and we use the fax a lot because it can't be hacked like email.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. And do we have any typewriters in the office?
I know we did for a very long time back in sales at the old building. I don't know if it made its way over here.
If I remember correctly, it was an electric. It wasn't a manual. Obviously, I'm not gonna have a manual typewriter. I had one. It was a Smith Corona. It had the case that would close. You know what I mean? It had the handle, and you could carry it. That's what my parents got me. I remember they got me that for Christmas, and I taught myself how to type, which is why I type wrong. And I know that you're like, you know, Captain Type, because you're unbelievably fast and good at it, and you do it correctly. I look at the keyboard, and because I was self-taught. I mean, I can type really fast, but I know when I make a mistake, not by looking at the screen, but by going, oh, I think I hit it. And then I look up and see if I made a mistake, and then I look back down. But yeah, I was self-taught. I mean, I knew how to type by the time I got to high school already, and I didn't take typing. I was going to take typing, but I didn't take it because I'd have to relearn everything. You know what I mean? Like, I had taught myself, and I was already really good at it. I started typing when I was like in seventh grade.
Yeah.
At home, because I liked it, and I would write like movie reviews and type up movie reviews and stuff. And then, like, when I got to high school, obviously I'd have to follow a regular form and learn all over again, so I didn't take typing. So I type like an idiot now, but it was...
I know we got to get to Vic here, but a new wrinkle is a lot of schools are debating whether to teach typing, because soon they believe everything will be voice activated, so you won't need to learn how to type.
God, it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, it's 2019, Dan. You know, that's the year Blade Runner took place. So flying cars are coming up. All right. Let's see. By the way, Running Man took place in 2019, too. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what it is about this year. But, like, one of the greatest science fiction movies of all time takes place in this year. That's Blade Runner. So, all right, news is up. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And how are you? We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. I'm here every weekday morning till 5 a.m. Real quickly, I just want to mention one more time before the end of the show that I am hosting a screening of Slapshot tonight. And I hope you guys can make it, because this is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's one of the funniest movies ever made, and by far the best hockey movie ever. It stars Paul Newman. It's a classic, classic movie from 1977. And I'm showing it tonight. The movie starts at 8 o'clock at the AMC Rosemont 18, which is formerly the Movie Co. It's $10 to get in only, and it's and parking is free. But beforehand, if you guys want to have some food, go down a few blocks away to Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, which is located at the Crown Plaza Hotel, right down the street. Starting at around 6 o'clock, everybody's going to, you know, we're all going to come in, have some food, and they're giving us a great deal. The Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, they're really, really great guys, and the management is great. And we had a great time having a pre-show dinner there last month before Bill Murray's movie Scrooged, and they had so much fun. They want to do it again, even though Slapshot has nothing to do with Bill Murray or the Murray brothers. It is Caddyshack's a sports movie, and so is Slapshot. So that's how we'll do the connection. But they're offering 15% off of all your food purchases if you have proof that you're going to see Slapshot. Get a ticket or a receipt or something like that, and then say you're with the Nick DiGiulio Film Club. You'll get 15% off the Film Club members of all your food purchases. Plus, they have an old-time hockey beer special of $2 Schlitz Tall Boys tonight. And that's old school. That's old school as it gets. So you can get 15% off your food, a $2 Schlitz Tall Boy, and then why not walk over or drive back over to the movie theater at AMC Rosemont 18. And at 8 o'clock, I will introduce the classic hockey movie with Paul Newman, Slapshot. We'll laugh our butts off for 2 hours, and then I'll talk about it with you guys afterwards with a Q&A. I know a lot about this movie. So there's a lot of great behind the scenes stories about Slapshot, and we'll talk all about it after watching one of the funniest movies ever made. So I really hope you guys can make it tonight. Tickets are going pretty good, so you might want to get in there and reserve your seats right now. AMCTheaters.com. AMCTheaters.com. It's at the AMC Rosemont 18. It's tonight's screening of January 8th of Slapshot at 8 o'clock. Go to the seating chart, pick out all the seats that you want. They'll be waiting for you tonight. Movie starts at 8. They're going to start serving dinner and having the old-time hockey party at 6 o'clock over at Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant in the Crown Plaza Hotel. So make your reservations now for the movie at AMCTheaters.com. And you can call the Caddyshack Restaurant. If you want to call the Caddyshack Restaurant in Rosemont, maybe make a reservation. Or if you have any questions about it, tell them that you're part of the Nick DiGiulio Film Club and you're going to see Slapshot. The phone number for the Caddyshack Restaurant is 847-443-3673. That's 847-443-3673. And I hope to see you tonight. Slapshot, if it is really nothing, I haven't seen this movie on the big screen in almost 40 years, probably around 40 years. And to see this really hilarious movie digitally remastered on the big screen with a crowd, it's going to be a blast. So AMCTheaters.com, get your reservations going tonight, and we'll see you all tonight at the theater to watch Slapshot. And then beforehand at the Caddyshack Restaurant to have some chow. 15% off, and you can have some cheap beer as well. All right, it's going to be a fun night. So hope to see you guys there. Okay, we're talking about products that are now obsolete that we never thought would be obsolete. I love talking about this kind of stuff and remembering things and getting nostalgic, and some people actually still have a lot of these things. For instance, 847 area code says paper maps. Remember the rack at the gas station with all the maps? Yes, I do. Remember trying to fold them back up? 301 area code says, I think that Laffin used to have the phrase, look that up in your funkin' Wagnalls. Yeah. And then it was also part of every intro for Karnak. Dan, can you find an intro for Karnak? Because it's everything. Every single episode of Karnak. I'm talking about maybe there are people too young to know who Karnak is. Karnak the Magnificent is a character that the great Johnny Carson played, and he would come out and he would have a turban on and a cape, and he would answer. He would provide the answer to a question without knowing what the question is. He'd hold the envelope up to his head. He'd say the answer to the question. Then he'd rip the envelope open, take the question out, and read the question. And it was always, you know, it was just like, for instance, the classic one is Sis Boom Ba. And then he opens up the envelope and it says, what does an exploding sheep sound like? So that's the setup. Ed McMahon would always be his, you know, his sidekick as usual, and he would hand him the envelopes. Like each question would be handed to him by Ed McMahon, and they would do wacky bits in between. But every time they would do the introduction, Ed McMahon would set it up, saying that the questions came from Funkin' Wagnall's porch since noon today. It was new. It's noon. It's noon today. They've been sitting out of, you know, they came straight from a mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnall's porch since noon today. That was the setup every single time. And of course, you know, it killed every time. It was great every time. So maybe we can find, do we have it, Dan?
Not quite yet.
Oh, okay. All right, let me go through a couple more texts here while we wait.
I have the envelopes here. They've been hermetically sealed, kept in a mayonnaise jar on Bob Howard's porch since noon today.
Oh, that's wrong. That's different. It's Funkin' Wagnall's. He's supposed to say Funkin' Wagnall's. Wait, you going? What are the odds of that happening? That I set up this whole thing, and I want to get audio proof that Ed McMahon would say that every time, and then he said somebody else's porch. That's weird. Trust me on this. I know my Johnny Carson.
I hold in my hands the envelopes.
Here we go.
A child of four could plainly see these envelopes are hermetically sealed. They've been kept in a mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnall's porch since noon today. No one knows the contents of these envelopes. But you, in your mystical and divine way, will ascertain the answers to the questions, having never before seen the question.
Karnak will give that a shot.
Okay, there you go. So that's... It's that was my favorite. That was always, I used to get, when I was a kid, and even as an adult, I would get so excited when Karnak would come out. And he always did the bit, Dan, where he'd walk out, they'd introduce him, he'd walk out, and then he'd trip on his way to the desk. He would, every single time, and I laughed every time. Even as an adult, when I watched the reruns, and Karnak trips as he's going to sit down at the desk, I crack up. And I remember one night they did a bit where they put a balsa wood desk in that looked exactly like Johnny's desk, and he went through the desk. And I remember I was a kid when I saw this. I think they only did it the one time. But I'm telling you, when he went through the, because normally he trips and he catches himself, or Ed kind of reaches out and help him, and then he sits down. But he tripped and went through the balsa wood desk they set up. And I was so, because that had never happened. And I almost fell. I remember watching it as a kid crying with laughter. That's the best. Karnak, the best. Funkin' Wagnall's porch. 773 area code said that I never thought the compact disc would be obsolete. Cecilia says, for an FYI, they sell at Anthropology, sells Polaroid cameras and even disposable ones. I've noticed the old throwbacks lately. Literally everything old is new again. Vinyl is huge amongst many now. And Happy New Year. Yeah, vinyl is big. We have Jim Hankey on every once in a while to talk about it. He's our vinyl expert. And young people have really taken to it. And major, major artists release their albums on vinyl now. Let's see. 847 area code says, we have the World Book Encyclopedia with the 72 and 73 year in review issues. I think I have World Book, too. Pretty sure I did have World Book. Peter in Decatur said, I haven't used it in years, but because of your conversation, I bought an old alarm clock off the shelf, dust and all. Okay. All right. Look at that. Inspiring people to use their old technology, Dan. That's what we're here for. How about slide projectors? Remember when people would do slideshows? You come over, hey, come on over, and we'll look at our vacation slides. Then you'd sit in a room for 3 hours, and they would show pictures of them and their relatives in Florida, you know? Yeah, slide projectors, those are gone too. Card catalogs, we had to learn I remember learning the Dewey Decimal System. We had library class when I was at Hamilton in grade school. We had a library class, and oh man, our librarian was a pothead. She was a total pothead. Because this was this is the early mid-70s, okay? And, I remember there was a back room to the library. Like the class would actually take place in the library. We'd learn the Dewey Decimal System when we'd write stuff and look up books and all kinds of stuff. And it was a library class. I think it was only once a week. I'm pretty sure it was only once a week, but she was a burnout, man. She was a total, I mean, this is 70, 73, maybe 74. So she was a hippie, you know, wore the tie dye, I can't remember her name, man. And she wore, like, really crazy necklaces. I remember having, like, crazy necklaces. And there was always a funny odor. Like, we would come into the room, and there would always be this funny odor that I didn't quite know what it was until a couple of years later when my best friend's older brother, who was a pothead, was blowing weed in the basement. And I was like, oh, that's what that is. So that's when I realized that the librarian at the school that I went to was a pothead. Now people can go and historically look it up now. I just gave the year and the school so they can go back in time and look up the records to see who the librarian was at that time and know that she was a pothead. I remember she swore at us one time. She was in the back. I guess we were screwing around. I can't remember. We were messing around and I guess we harshed her buzz or something. And she came out from the back room and she said the S word. She screamed out and we all went, Going to school in the 70s was fun, man. Okay, we got a break. I got the weather for you here. And then Blackhawks, we have a Blackhawks Express to play. And it's not a real good one because there hasn't been a ton of good ones for this season. But we always play them back after the game the next morning. So, all right. It's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. And Steve Grzanich coming up at 5. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We're talking about... products that are obsolete now that we didn't think would be obsolete. How about phone booths? Before phones were pocket-sized supercomputers, people had to stop to make a phone call on the go. The places they stopped to make those phone calls were called phone booths. Once a familiar sight, phone booths like the landlines and phone books contained in them. Phone booths were dealt a mortal blow with the arrival of cell phones. Just 100,000 payphones remain compared to 2 million in 1999. Wow. Are there any payphones around? Does anybody see payphones anywhere?
I always look for them, and I have not found a functioning one in years.
There may be one. I think there might be one in the L-Strop right by my house. I think they may have a cell phone in there. That's kind of where you look for them. It's like, you know, the subway stations and stuff like that. That's kind of where you might be able to find them. But yeah,
this was years ago, but I was I forgot my phone and I was trying to reach you and I tried using it and it didn't work. So
oh, it didn't.
Hopefully it works now.
Oh, so this was the one across from my place.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they've got it replaced. I don't know. All right.
Texters are mentioning a lot of airports have them still.
Oh, sure. Of course. That makes sense. Airports. But they don't have phone booths. The pay phones exist, but they don't have phone booths anymore. The actual little teeny room that you would go in, close the door, and talk.
I have heard of places actually had them in building, just taking out the phone.
So you can actually have a phone call.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. 219 area code says, hey, Nick and Dan, love your show. I'm an editor at World Book Encyclopedia, headquartered right here in Chicago and conveniently located across the river from Britannica. Whenever I get asked what I do, where I work, the next question is, you guys are still around? And then do they still print or is it all online? We still do. We have lots and tons of online resources. They're mostly in schools and libraries, of course, but they have the most beautiful spinescapes now. Once all the volumes line up in order, they make a gorgeous piece of artwork. That's cool. That's really cool. 312 area code says, the Norridge Harwood Heights Library has a selection of manual typewriters for patrons' use. Not sure if they can be checked out, but yet you have to use them. They are being used at the library. That's cool. 301 area code says, I have an old Remington Rand typewriter, and there's a thriving small company that repairs old typewriters. I bet, man. I bet there are some, you know, smaller businesses like that fix those kind of things, like typewriters and stuff, that probably have a pretty good business, because where else are you going to go, you know? 765 area code says, I still have a compact desk toy desktop computer with floppy disk drive and a rotary dial phone. Carl says, remember H and S&H green stamps, of course. And 309 area code says the full-service gas stations. Yeah. Remember when they'd come out and they would check your oil?
Forget what state it is, but they recently relaxed those regulations. It used to have full service. And so there was a period of adjustment where a lot of people didn't know how to pump their own gas.
Oh, wow.
Because they had never done it before.
Oh, wow. All right. What about phone books? We were talking about phone booths, phone books. Do they still deliver them? Because I haven't gotten one.
They still do deliver them.
They do? I don't know. Because normally they would just, you know, they would deliver, because I live in an apartment building, so they just throw them in the, they throw them in the lobby, and then you fend for yourself. I haven't gotten one. I do not have a phone book in my apartment at the moment. I know that for a fact. So, all right, well, all this stuff is gone. But again, it's 2019. This is the year that Blade Runner takes place, so flying cars next week, Dan.
Looking forward to it.
All right. All right. Let's take a break. Tomorrow we've got Kevin Powell is going to join us to talk sports. Good old Kevin. He'll be here with us. But we're going to take a break here. News is up next.